Marion Mayor Mike Absher is on the other end of the line this morning. Morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm great. How are you?
Good. You know, I'm curious about this. When I saw the phrase Oasis of Fun, redevelopment, the Marion Star Center, this has been, I think, a white elephant is not probably inaccurate. Can you tell me about this transition for the mall?
Well, I can. This is something that we've worked on for quite a while. And matter of fact, probably since the first day I was in office. It's an extraordinarily difficult jigsaw puzzle legally and logistically, but that mall did transact. The deeds are recorded, new owners in place. So I hope you give them the opportunity at some point to explain their vision. I really don't want to steal any of their thunder, but it's very exciting for the city. I've maintained since before I was elected that property still had enormous potential because of its location. So hopefully they'll bring some attractions and some additional retail, obviously, to that property. And I truly believe it will be better than it ever was before.
Yeah, well, part of that big jigsaw puzzle was city and taxes.
Yes, and that's still somewhat unsettled. The bankruptcy judge will have to determine from the sale price, how the property taxes that are owed in arrears will be distributed amongst the different taxing bodies and such. That's up to the judge, but there is new ownership at this point. The good news is the city didn't have to invest any dollars or didn't pay any other than legal fees, of course, but we didn't participate, so to speak, in purchasing that mall. Maybe more significantly, the litigation that had been threatened against the city is dismissed.
You know, this is not the only restructuring project, a rather lofty redistribution. I saw some of the art and work done by the architects for restructuring the town's Tower Square.
Oh, yeah, I'm super excited about that. That will take a number of years, and there's some grants that we have to apply for and will hopefully receive. A lot of that has to do with traffic flow, and so that the grant work that we apply for has to do with a little bit of reformatting the streets to be a little safer, frankly, around the square for traffic. And that's so important because as you try to reformat the layout, if you will, and make it more pedestrian-friendly, cars and pedestrians don't always play all that well, and so that they sort of interact in that way. And so that's why the design work is there, not just the aesthetic work is there. But the goal is very straightforward. It's simply to make it more walkable, make it more attractive so that people want to not just drive by, but to stop and to get out and to interact with attractions and hopefully then be able to hang around and transact with the merchants that are there and are that are coming. So we're really very excited about that. It's not all set in stone just yet as far as exactly what elements of that will be, but I truly believe it'll be a 100-year renovation, meaning it will be relevant for the next 100 years, we're really excited about it.
Have a price tag, Mike?
Yeah, it will be somewhere, I'd say on the low side after the grants, about $4
million. Okay.
Depends on what other elements will be asked for or what might have to, once the bids actually come in, what has to be adjusted from that number.
The documents that I have on cure funds from the federal government approved March 27th in Washington, D.C. for Marion, Illinois, not the county, Marion itself, $709,264. JCAR committee met yesterday. Judging from the letter that I read in response from the Illinois Municipal League Executive Director Brad Cole, the changes that he wanted to be able to envelop in this and what was included in the original federal intent, economic assistance for the communities as well, apparently that did not work out well. I haven't learned a lot more about it since yesterday. I know that Brad Cole and the rest of the league is not happy. Can you tell me anything? And what would these funds, how would they be applied in your town under the current standard if we know what they are?
Well, so this is a very frustrating situation for municipalities and counties. It's interesting that you asked me this question. We actually had a Southern Illinois mayor Zoom call with Senator Tammy Duckworth yesterday at noon, and there is an extraordinary disconnect. She did not understand. Remember, this is federal legislation. These were federal dollars that were passed through the states, and she was taken aback because there was not supposed to be restrictions on how that money was passed through the state to those municipalities and counties. And our state put all kinds of restrictions and qualifications to get that money. And basically, unless it's COVID-19 related and directly, unless we can have a receipt that shows we spent X amount of dollars on so many face masks, for example, which we do, but that's limited to some extent, obviously, by those PPE purchases. That's the only thing that's at this point reimbursable to the state. So those big dollar amounts that you just read off there, I don't know of one town, not one mayor that I was on that phone call with yesterday could possibly even get a single-digit percentage of those dollars that you just quoted. So Senator Duckworth literally indicated she was going to call the governor, and because there was an extraordinary disconnect from the intent of the federal legislation, the intent of the legislature, versus the practice of what's happening. And my big question that I left with yesterday was, because the question came up, we just don't understand why this is this way, and I'm not trying to indict anybody, but my question is if they're not giving it to the cities, where's the money going to go?
Back to the state. And I've already asked that question, and at my behest, Senator Durbin has already contacted the governor's office as well. These cure funds in particular, the limits on being able to help economic assistance within the community, and so they've taken that component out, which was in the federal intent, and the period of time in which the money could be spent has been shortened as well. So, and it looks like that's a win. Speaking of Jay Carr, they also talked about masks yesterday. Have you, the city council, discussed the possibility of a mask mandate in Marion?
No. That, of course, we haven't had a city council meeting since that ruling came out yesterday. I read through that 8 or 9 page document that Jay Carr put out yesterday, and it appears, based on that first and second reading of that, that the authority still lies with Illinois Department of Public Health, which then comes down basically in our area to Bi-County Health. So it's still IDPH's primary responsibility to enforce the state's mandate. That is not a city or county-wide mandate. That is a state mandate. And so it still is primarily up to the state agencies, and based on my read, to enforce that. So we'll be waiting on some direction, I suppose, from them.
By the way, on that cure funds, one final note, you do know Chicago does not have the same rules and receive their money directly from the federal government, correct?
That's kind of a recurring theme in our state, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Mike, before I let you go this morning, I was reading over the report from Franklin Williamson County Bi-County Health yesterday. The 6th Williamson County death, 36 new cases within the Franklin Williamson County system, but 30 of the 36, 32 are in Williamson County. This is a number I know you're watching. And so where are we in this situation? Do we have the prospect of rolling back? Can we move forward? I mean, there's a lot of judgment calls derived from these numbers.
Absolutely, there are. It's concerning in our specific case in Williamson County, and I don't get any detail other than the same kind of numbers you get. But that being said, my understanding is the vast majority of all these new cases, unfortunately, you know, on one hand, is at the federal prison, and apparently it is many, many cases. The last number I heard was in the 80s, so that's terrible news, but I think, on the other hand, that means the general population of the county has got a much, much lower number than what's being, if it were segregated between what that facility alone was versus the rest of the county, it would not look nearly as daunting. But everyone's got to stay vigilant with this. It's obviously still spreading. No one likes these masks and all of that. I certainly struggle with it myself, everything from just being uncomfortable with it to fogging up my glasses, but it just seems like that's going to have to be our demeanor for a little while to try to help stop the spread of this.
Well, my sources, and I have two sources that have spoke to me directly, say that an inmate was brought to the Marion Federal Penitentiary, known infected, and then the spread began from there. That's sources from the prison myself. that I have within the system. So, Mike, before I let you go this morning, there are a lot of challenges, whether it's returning today this morning with your kids at school, whether you can keep your restaurant open, whether you can, you know, find daycare for your kids so you can go back to school if they don't have school. I mean, challenging times, Mike, and if you're an administrator trying to plan for the future, what do you see as the biggest challenge going forward for your community?
Well, specific to school, given that I spent 8 years on the school board prior to being elected to my current office, I can tell you without question that the administrators and the teachers are certainly doing their best, and they're frustrated, too. It's not going to be a normal semester, maybe not a normal year. And I think the biggest struggle is going to be, as is a lot of this coronavirus environment, is it's a lot of it has to do with our attitude and our ability to overcome and adapt to the challenges and be flexible so that our children can get the best out of it under the circumstances. So my prayer really for all of us in general and specific to those of us that have children in school, as I do, is that we are patient, understanding, and forgiving when things don't go the way that they have gone in the past, because they're not going to, but it's just change. It doesn't mean it's always going to be this way. It's just going to be this way for a little while, I believe, and we've just got to adapt and overcome. That's what we have to do.